NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
Welcome into the show. Second hour. Time flies when you're having fun. But before we get going, got to pay a couple bills. We are broadcasting live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. And you could save an average of $470 on auto insurance, all right? That's a lot of money for a quick phone call, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. Average nationwide annual savings survey data July to December of 2020. And that is how you do a live read coming into the show. Second hour, as we mentioned. Hey, listen, guys, we're having this conversation. Right. We just heard Plaxico Burress give a very, very long dialogue and very sentimental conversation about his personal relationship and love affair with Coach Tom Izzo. And I totally understood where you were coming from. We listened to Gavin's opinion about it. Gavin didn't seem to think that it was anything that was totally egregious towards it. I don't want to speak for you, Gav, but that's kind of what the context of it, right? It shouldn't be.
Doesn't mean he should have done it. It just means I don't think it was so excessive it should have deserved the outrage.
When I look at these situations, and we're talking about the situation that took place, an altercation is being called between Tom Izzo and Gabe. What was Gabe's last name, by the way? Gabe Brown. Yeah, Gabe Brown for Michigan State Spartans. No. You got your time to talk, Plex. Like, you got to wait. Like, you's talking about some so.
Ain't no so.
You're going to have to sit here. Y'all going to have to sit here and listen to this. You can't sit there and pick and choose when it's okay for it to be okay. And let me qualify that. When something happens in the public that can be left to interpretation, if we don't know by 2020 that how that's going to be grabbed, how it's going to be used, how it's going to be interpreted, then, you know, you just got to be okay with taking that chance, I guess, because to me, you have to be so ever careful because the consumption of information is so different based upon the technology these days. It's not this new school way of looking at how things work is very, very different. From an old school perspective, you were allowed to spank your child in public. And I'm talking your child, like not somebody else. In fact, I'll go as far as to say you were allowed to spank somebody else's child in public and at a certain point in time in our society. In 2020, that ain't it. That's not it. And I was just saying, I was telling the story when we were talking about it. Like, you know, it's okay to feel like as though, you know, Izzo loves his guys. He has that personal relationship with them. They can put their arm around them and different things like that. But it still comes down to the optics. And when you start talking about the optics of it, if someone is offended by it, if another parent of one of the players on Michigan State is offended by it, if a donor is offended by it, if somebody of significance and of importance is offended by it, then that now becomes an issue. And I'll speak from personal experience. Last year, I used to always have my post-game meetings, game rap with my players, where the players' families could actually stand and listen to the post-game speech. So I allowed the parents to be a part of the post-game speeches. And this one game we lost the game. Matter of fact, TJ, you were there. Mm-hmm. You heard the speech. In fact, you were a part of the speech. And it was a spirited speech. No profanity, no name calling, no anything. Just an impassioned, spirited speech to preparation and caring and accountability and all these different things that were lacking in this game, and it costed us the game. Do you not know that a parent that was there listening, still nameless to this day, said that if this were any other coach, he would have been fired? And he would have been fired because that is considered to be classic bullying. Now, well, I'll sit here and I'll say, I didn't even touch a kid. I didn't even touch him. Didn't use any profanity, nothing. Totally clean. I still had to have a series of meetings with my superiors to discuss what was said, how it was handled, and how I plan on handling it as we move into the future. So when I hear, okay, Plex, what you're saying makes sense, and it makes sense to you, the player, it makes sense to the kid, they may have squashed the beef 2 minutes later. Nobody even had the opportunity to see that, right, Gav? Like, we're sitting here and we're basing it off of the player and the coach. But I think what has to be made known, TJ, in this scenario is that there is more involved than just the player relationship and the coach relationship as it applies to what the optics of the situation is, because the optics of it can make you way more guilty in the situation than the relationship itself and the intent of where it's coming from and who it's coming from.
All we can go off of is what we see. We don't know their relationship. You would assume they have a good relationship. Tom Izzo is that type of coach where he's fiery, he gets in guys' faces, but we don't see the behind the scenes and the type of relationship that they may have. But that's the problem also. They may have a great relationship.
And they may not.
And they may not. The only problem, I don't have a problem with it because I'm a fiery guy. But that's the generation that we come from. We come from a generation of fiery coaches.
If you were walking into the locker room because you fumbled the ball and they got a hold of it and they picked it up and went for a touchdown, and you were walking to the locker room and the coach grabbed you,
it's a big problem. When you talk about the play with Michigan State versus UCLA, the kid Gabe Brown was already pissed. He was mad about what transpired, what took place. And so then for the coach to kind of verbally get on you, and he gave it right back as good as he took it from Izzo,
mm-hmm.
but then he walked away, and then Izzo snatched him.
Mm-hmm.
Tensions are already high. Let me calm down first, and then let's talk. But when you do it in that moment, we both feel a certain type of way. I'm upset about what happened. You're upset about what happened, but I'm the one out there playing. So I, you can't be more upset than I am. It's me. And so that's where it could have gone wrong. But Izzo's been doing this his entire career, and that's the problem. Izzo has been doing this his entire career, so he gets a pass.
Because they're used to it. People are used to seeing it.
But when you have emotions in this and your tensions are high, just let the kid calm down. The kid handled it correctly. Gabron handled it correctly, because if he responds a different way, it's, oh, my God, what kind of kid is he? His professional career is over. You can't respond to a coach like right. that, but it's always a coach can kind of do whatever. But, again, their relationship, I don't know it. But optics is what you said. All I can go off of is what I saw.
Right.
And what I saw, it didn't look good. But, again, emotions are high. I know how it is to be in that situation. And I'm glad nothing ever came of it as far as the player reacting differently that would have possibly damaged his future.
Plex, well, go ahead. I know you want to touch on it, but I want to know how you would have handled if a coach grabbed you in a heat of a moment.
Look, I haven't had the opportunity to have really a personal relationship with any of my coaches, based off of football. You know, you have 50 guys, 60 guys on the roster, so you don't really have that intimate relationship to build with a coach. But how many times have we seen Tom Izzo step to the microphone and he always reminds us, he says, I tell the players that it's their team. I'm the coach. And he gets on the podium again and say it's a Norman exchange. Then you get Denzel Valentine. And then you get Draymond Green. Oh, that little exchange of them walking into the tunnel is typical Michigan State. And I've never played for a coach that he allows the players to challenge him.
So if that coach doesn't have that relationship with you, grabbed you in that moment, what would Plaxico Burress do?
Oh, it's a whole different program.
How would you handle that?
Oh, I probably would have just turned around and the backside of my hand would have caught his chin. Bam. it would have happened just like that. But knowing Tom Izzo and the family, you know, camaraderie that he creates amongst his
There's
group.
There's a trust.
And his
You're
team,
saying that yeah, trust.
He allows them to challenge him because he says, you know what? I may be wrong with what I see and whatever what happened on the basketball court. I may be wrong. But they understand that, listen, he says, this is the only way that we can get better. It's a family. We can challenge each other. That's how we get better. And it's been a winning recipe since he got there, 1996?
But this is what's going on in today's society, man. Anything that you do that is considered now not the norm for today –
It's condemned. And not only is it condemned, TJ, but it's judged, it's measured, and it's weighed, and there is executions that take place for missteps. So I'll even go as far as to say people that will come against this and be outraged by it and find the victimhood in it and find everything bad about it will actually have the opinion of saying that someone like you, Plaxico, have to even be protected from yourself. Like it's not just because you think that environment is okay and this, that, and other. You know what they'll say? They'll say that it's the timeout parent versus the corporal punishment parent, right? It's like take the book away from them, take the video game away from them, take the TV, take the phone, take those things away from them and make them realize that they were wrong by process of eliminating something that they care about versus the parent that's going to pull out a belt or for some people, this might sound foreign to them, but, oh, go outside and find me a switch. Right. You may not be up on that terminology because that doesn't exist in 2021, right? So yeah. So to me, the I guess the point of the conversation to me is whether right or wrong in intent – is it right or wrong to allow the public to see that take place? See, to me, if I have that type of relationship with him and I know that we're going to go get it and we're going to get after it, I'm not doing it on the court. We're going to be in that locker room and it's going to be all speculation because now we're on the same page. Whatever happens behind them doors, no one can come. If we had the type of relationship that you're saying, no one can come behind those doors and make it what they want to make it. It's all speculation. A player could leak it out. Somebody else could say it, whatever it is, but it's still speculation. Y'all can come together. But the moment he did that on the court for everybody to see it, and some people could say, oh, well, they sure do have a fiery relationship. Some people may sit there and say, oh, respect. You need to have that. He needs to have somebody tough on him, this and that. But you're going to also have the other side of it where they're saying that's a toxic relationship. That's an abusive relationship. You can't lead by bullying. How do you respond when somebody would say that?
I understand exactly what you're saying. Listen, this whole day and age of social media and internet and all those – people are going to say what they want to say. Everybody's going to have an opinion. But as a player, you know, you're not going to Michigan State knowing that, okay, I know what kind of coach Izzo is. You don't sign up a scholarship to go to Indiana and play for Bobby Knight and not understand who you're playing for.
Yeah.
You have a choice.
But could Bobby Knight – but could Bobby Knight – could Bobby Knight survive one game?
Hell no.
You guys tell me, Gavin?
Zero.
Hell no.
Could Bobby Knight survive one practice as a coach in today's society?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not getting off track to Bobby Knight, but what I'm saying is as a player, you know who you're going to play for. You do not go to Michigan State not understanding what Tom Izzo was all about.
And I don't disagree with that.
I agree with that, but I'm not trying to have you berate me and physically put hands on me, because if I return the favor, then I'm the bad guy.
What if it's your child? What if it's your child? Like, what if you saw that and that's your child that he's grabbing on?
Well, you know, listen, I'm going to be biased because
you know
I have a personal – I know. I've been in those locker rooms. Whenever they come up here to Rutgers, I pick up the phone, I go down to the game, sit in the locker room, the speech, pregame speech, after the game speech. I know the kind of atmosphere that is created and how close the team and the coaches are. I understand that. To people on the outside looking, just like you said, everybody.
Hey, Plex, you remember that? You remember that Pop Warner coach that snatched that kid up,
slapped him upside the head?
Oh, I'm coming out the stand.
Okay, get out. See what I'm saying?
See, I do want to clarify. That's, I think we can all agree that stuff is
child,
way
though.
Too far. I'm talking about a shirt tug.
But here's
yeah.
The,
oh yeah,
but
no, it's very, it's completely different.
No, it's not.
You're talking about a child.
It's not different.
It is different.
It is not different, and I'm gonna tell y'all why it's not different. Because it's all left up to the person's interpretation.
No, the reason it's different was because it was a child.
It's
under
a child,
looks
LaVar.
Like he's about 10 years
nah,
old,
see, you're
and we're talking
it.
Of a man
he's
at
a child,
2021.
LaVar does have a point though about the optics.
It's a justification by saying it's a child. So what you're doing is you're qualifying the action based upon the given scenario or the given variables of the.
You have to,
but you can't.
You have to,
but you can't. You can't. You cannot.
Of course you can.
You can't do it.
It's case by case. Can we agree on that?
It is case by case. But the bottom line of it is the bigger the case, the bigger the spotlight. That's a very, very
free Tom Izzo.
Very. Oh, my gosh.
Come.
All right. We got to get out of there, and we got to get out
of
college football.
Now we can move to the greatest sport in the world. Let's talk about the greatest sport in the world now.
Beaver basketball.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, Up on Game. We've been having an amazing conversation line today. I mean, wow, we started with a little bit of should you pay the players. We ended up with are you able to put your hands on your players and not in that way, like kind of like a physical way, but not in that way either. But, well, anyways, I'm going to just get away from it because that just kind of got a little awkward, and you know how that goes. Anyways, I'm LeVar Arrington, and that's TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burrs. Yeah, this is Up on Game, and if you missed any of those things that I just talked about, like the awkwardness of how it made you feel, we've talked about some awkward topics today, so go to our podcast, download it, subscribe, rate it, tell a friend. Listen, we've been looking at the numbers. It's been an amazing response, so thank you all for supporting us. We continue
thank
to try
you.
To improve
thank
the
you.
Show and get
push
our grind
button.
Right. Yeah, you know, we like to do it the right way.
Push the button.
Yeah, so make sure you subscribe. All right, go to Apple, you know, iTunes, whatever, you know, wherever you download. All right, so listen, NFL free agency, it has been a blur. I mean, it was like it was almost here, and then it got here, and then it was like a whole lot of stuff happened. And there's just now been the conversation of what NFL free agency has been this year. Let's just see what we got, you know, going on here. You know, who are the winners? Who's the biggest winner to you guys?
Man, when I look at it, it's an easy answer for me, really easy. And maybe some will agree. It's the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm.
And when I say the Cardinals is because – and they got two players that some can say are at the end of their careers, and J.J. Watt and A.J. Green. But then they also get the lineman from the Raiders, which nobody's really talking about that. That's going to help Rodney Hudson. That's going to help them tremendously. Because from 2011, let's talk A.J. Green briefly. 2011 to 17, it was no question. At worst, he was the second best receiver in the league. 18 and 19, he pretty much was – he missed both of those years pretty much. 19, he didn't play at all. I believe 2018, he missed probably at least half of the games. 2020, he was rehabbing from the 2019 injury, so he didn't really do much. With the way football is set up now, they're not having any OTAs. The wear and tear, you can't really practice how we used to practice. The wear and tear on these guys' bodies is completely different. So, he's getting 30s. It's not like when we played where by the third day of training camp, you can barely walk because the first two practices have already been double days and you can barely move. It's just a different day and age. If him and J.J. Watt can be close, they don't have to be what they were, close. It's really – Arizona Cardinals, what they're doing is – we have a quarterback on a rookie contract. We're going all in. You got Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt on the same defensive line. Who you going to double? You got DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green. Who you going to double? And then you have a lineman, Rodney Hudson, that's going to bring some stability to the middle of your offensive line. They're going to be able to run the ball. I don't know what teams are going to do when you play the Cardinals. This is really going to boil down to can Kyler Murray take that step and be the quarterback he should be, because that division is already tough. As it is, it just got tougher. And for me, the winner is the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, there hasn't really been any big splashes in free agency other than the Cardinals. Nobody has really signed and joined a team that is really going to make a significant difference and make them a championship football team other than the Cardinals. You look across the board. Pittsburgh still has been – Ben Roethlisberger's coming back.
They got Juju.
Yeah, they got Juju. He turned down going to Baltimore and going to Philly to come back playing Pittsburgh for a one-year, $8 million deal. That just tells me that he really didn't have a lot of offers.
He didn't have anything.
That just tells me that,
that
you know
number
what?
Was way off. By the way, y'all make Man, sure listen, y'all come on this show
it's a,
and
it's
tell
a
me
real.
When I'm wrong. But y'all yeah. said, I think y'all said something about 17, 15, 18
no, no,
million
no, no,
for
no,
Juju.
No, 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 no,
no. No, I didn't say so that. Who said
come
that?
Come on, Gav.
No.
Come on, Gav.
Wrong.
No, no, no. We, no. Me and Plex were both saying y'all Juju's not going to get paid. Juju's not going to get paid.
I could have sworn I was the one that said that.
I wouldn't pay him.
He struggles in certain areas of the football game.
He can't create separation.
He cannot. You have to hide him within the formation. You know, playing against linebackers and nickels and different things like that. He's a zone buster, whatever the possession, whatever the thing may be. But for him to sign back, you know, 1 year, $8 million deal, he turns down Baltimore, turns down going to Philly. He didn't have any feelers out there really for a long-term contract, so that's why he chose to come back.
Alex, you knew that. If you don't sign as a free agent the first 3 days, you have nothing. We know that.
Come on, man. You do. Is exactly right. So, Arizona Cardinals, J.J. Watt, those are the winners right now in free agency. Unless something, is a drastic change, maybe with Russell Wilson going somewhere. But right now it's just the Arizona Cardinals.
I looked at the Houston Texans, right, and at a glance, they were really active in free agency. Yeah, I think they were active,
very active.
They were very active. Like, they signed a whole lot of guys. A lot of it was really focused in on the defensive side of the ball. It seemed as though they wanted to really, really make a statement in terms of trying to create a linebacking core and have some coverage and have a presence up front. So it seemed like just a lot of marginal players that they signed. One name that really kind of popped out at me when I was looking at what they're trying to do, because I wanted to get a feel for what direction they may or may not be going in. And we're going to touch on Deshaun Watson to finish out the show, just so everybody knows. So this is kind of maybe my segue into it, but I thought they're a loser and in free agency. I know they signed Mark Ingram, They brought in Tyrod Taylor, and that's the name that I was thinking about. It's like, all right, Tyrod was the starter and was going to start until, you know, the young buck was ready to go, but a punctured lung gave way for you know, the position to be filled and not released and relinquished.
Unbelievable.
And so do you look at Tyrod Taylor in this situation as a possible solution if things don't work out with Deshaun Watson? So when I look at what Houston has done, while I would say they were very active in trying to fill spots of needs on their team, I think that by them not handling the Deshaun Watson situation any better than what it's been handled, with kind of the cryptic approach to what's going to happen or what their intentions are, the lack of commitment to what and how they're going to handle it, I think this offseason has to be considered to be a loss for the Houston Texans for very real reasons in terms of stability and emotional stability of what the direction of this franchise is going to be. So that's who I looked at as my biggest loser. Now, that transitions me into the conversation of Tyrod Taylor, because we got news earlier this week about Deshaun Watson and some of the situations that have developed, we'll say, over the course of this week. Now, it's a sensitive topic, clearly, and there are a lot of opinions that are circulating around what's taking place with Deshaun Watson. So just so people are up on what it is that's taking place, Deshaun Watson has been accused of basically being inappropriate while getting massages. And, it's a whole lot of civil cases. I think it's three civil cases that are being investigated or have been filed. So let me read this. This comes from ESPN's Sarah Barshop wrote. Houston lawyer Tony Busby said during a news conference Friday that he will be filing an additional 5 lawsuits against Deshaun Watson.
It's 12 total thus far.
In due course, so bringing the number of total cases to 12, alleging inappropriate conduct and sexual assault by the Texans quarterback. Now, this isn't anything to sneeze at, fellas. Like, I know a lot of times it's very easy and it's very simple to find ourselves just saying, oh, it's a setup. Oh, look at the timing of it, this, that, and the other. But are we looking at this the right way? Are we approaching this conversation the right way about Deshaun Watson if we're just saying that, oh, the lawyer happened to coincidentally be a neighbor of the owner of the Texans? Are we looking at this the right way if we're saying the only reason why Deshaun Watson is under fire right now is because he wants out of Houston? Or is there another way of looking at this? Lewis, start with you, TJ.
Well, we're coming live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios.
Yeah.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save a bundle on your auto insurance.
Save that bundle.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Now, segue into Deshaun Watson. Yep. And I've said this a ton. I'm a father of 3 girls.
Yep.
And first and foremost, if what has been alleged is taking place, he needs to pay accordingly. Whatever price that needs to be paid, he needs to pay it. The victims, that their voices need to be heard if that's the case. But if it's not the case, then these quote unquote victims, something needs to happen to them. This happened in supposedly or allegedly early 2020. Why now is it just coming out? Why now is it all these cases just coming to the forefront pretty much a year later? And it just case after case after case, but this happened over a year ago. And some may be legit, some don't. You're innocent until proven guilty. And I just, when you're getting massages and things of that nature, it's a tricky thing because as athletes, I've had a ton of massages where my groins kill me, my hamstrings, and you pretty much have nothing on but a towel, really. Sometimes you're going there.
If you're not an athlete and you get massages, you go in butt naked.
But you're going there with your underwear on, and they'll cover you up with a towel. And so if that makes you uncomfortable, then maybe you shouldn't be doing this. I don't know what took place.
I have never gotten a massage with any article of clothing on, just for the record.
If they are victims, then Deshaun Watson needs to be held accountable. He needs to be held accountable. But if they are not, and this is a smear, like if I'm a player right now and I'm playing in a league, I would absolutely not play for the Houston Texans. I would not want to play for the Houston Texans because it just doesn't look right all of a sudden. There may or may not be a case here, but it just doesn't look right. I would not want to be an active player and be playing for the Houston Texans. That's just me.
Hmm. Man, whether, you know, these allegations about Deshaun Watson are true or not, the damage is already done.
100%.
We've seen this happen on, you know, several different occasions where, you know, allegations are made against a player and whatever the circumstances may be, and then they come out not to be true, but the man's name has already been drugged through the mud.
Smeared him already.
So, yeah, the damage is already done. So it doesn't matter if it does matter if he did it
or whatever the case may be. It definitely matters if he did it.
He did. I mean,
no, it does matters matter. If it did. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it does matter. But if it didn't happen, it will always be attached to his name regardless. So the damage has already been done. So now we're going back to this whole Deshaun Watson thing about him not wanting to be in Houston. David Culley took the job.
But Plex, it's crazy? It's okay, not even listen, a criminal case.
I'm saying is that they may end up not having Deshaun Watson anyway. Whatever happens, if this happens to come out to be true and they don't have a starting quarterback, what do you do then? Because for as all we know, you telling us that Deshaun Watson is going to be the quarterback. We don't know what's going to happen with this. And, you know, getting back to the whole free agency part of it, if you're an organization and you're a general manager, I know three franchises that are very, you know, they're old school and they're unwilling to make big splashes in free agency. One of them are the Houston Texans. Another one is the Carolina Panthers. And the other one is the New York Giants. They are really kind of old school and far as not bringing in free agents. Listen, if your organization, your general manager, which I failed to even, you know, recognize or what's going on in their mind, if you don't draft well, you have to bring in free agents because you're not going to put the same team on the field that was 3-13 and expect to be a contender to win a Super Bowl in the following season. So going back to the whole free agency thing, if you're the Houston Texans and you're looking at this whole Deshaun Watson situation, you have to prepare yourself to bring in a starting quarterback, not even knowing what's going to happen, just so you can protect yourself, because there may be a possibility that he may get suspended from the NFL or maybe 4, 5, 6, 8 games. We don't know. But now you have to go outside your box and to bring in a quarterback just to protect yourself, because you're an organization where you don't bring in free agents. But now you have to look at the situation of bringing in a Tyrod Taylor, whoever may be left in free agency.
Okay, there we go. And today was a great day. Wasn't good.
Fish.
It was a great day.
Man,
welcome back to Up On Game. You got LeVar Arrington, Plaxico Burress, TJ Houshmandzadeh, coming to you live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. call Farmers today for a quote. And before we went to break, we were discussing Deshaun Watson. And LeVar didn't get to speak. He has a point. He's been researching and going through what he wants to say. LeVar, what say you about the Deshaun Watson case?
Please give him the floor. Give him the floor. Well, it's his show.
Well, no, it's our show. But here's the thing. You know, the interesting thing about the Deshaun Watson situation is you definitely – the first two things that jumped out at me was the timing of it, obviously, with him being – where he's at right now, and then the idea that it's a civil suit. And I was putting that out there, but then once we start talking about civil suits, that doesn't mean that a criminal suit can't ensue. They just can't go on at the same time, is I think, if I'm clear on it. And if we had callers that were responsible and would stay on topic, I would have opened it up to the phone lines to actually have somebody call in and possibly weigh in on it. But I am sure that a criminal and civil suit can't go at the same time.
Cannot. You're
so
correct.
So the idea that you, generally speaking, you see civil suits take place after criminal suits have been settled. But I'm pretty certain that it could be in the different order as well. And if that's the case, there's no telling that there's a possibility what happens in the civil suit could actually make a criminal lawsuit a possibility here. I think that it would have to be picked up or something by, it would, I don't know. I'm no lawyer and I'm not in legal, but I will say this. I don't know if this is true or not, obviously, but I think that this is very, very, it's a very touchy topic. And it's a touchy topic because if you're right about it being something that is egregious, a setup of some sort to bring him down based upon what's taking place, that is crazy if you're right about it. But I think you're even crazier if you end up being wrong about it. And that's the thing. So with situations like these, I try not to have an opinion on it one way or the other. I just stay neutral and waiting to see what information is going to present itself. It's unfortunate, and I always bring up Penn State, it's unfortunate that you are considered guilty by the public court of judgment before you have an opportunity of due process and seeing it play out. But I would say this is actually really one of those moments where you got to actually let the due process of the situation play out in order to have, like, what I would perceive to be a clear and valid viewpoint of what's taking place. But that's just me. I'm just, trying to look at it from a very even perspective. But listen, we want to thank FSR's newest affiliate, our 600 nationwide, a lot of affiliates, Fox Sports Radio 103.5 FM and 1510 AM, The Game, Spokane, Washington, home of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. If you missed anything, make sure you go subscribe to our podcast. It'll be up there. We're always around. TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. This is Fox Sports Radio, and you have just been put up on Game.
Peace.